Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
In the studio tonight, it's myself. The authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, LLC. Joining me tonight.
Steve Classic.
And Richie Rich.
Is your date even real?
Man, I hope so.
Mine was this morning.
Like, otherwise, that sock is crispy for nothing.
When I read this, I was like, what? And then I read it, and I was like, what? And so now I've brought it to here for the show tonight, because I'm still like, what?
And I've seen it. I've seen the blur, but I didn't know there was an article behind
there
it.
There is.
So now we have an article.
I didn't do any show prep, so.
That's all right. Richie Rich does more show prep than any man probably should.
I'll just be eating the burnt ends.
Yes, but try not to do that into the microphone, the chomp chomp,
no,
like,
no.
Because it's bad radio. At any rate,
it's good burnt ends.
Yeah, we're spoiled, right? You know, we had bad service but good food.
We got burned tonight.
It wasn't like. I mean, it took a long time for us to get our food, and then it never came, and then I had to leave, and then you guys brought it all to go or whatever. So thank you.
Oh, yeah, I'll be honest.
Looking at the burnt ends, they don't even really look like good burnt ends.
No, they look
they're,
like ribs.
They're not ends, and they're not burnt. They are, they're just smoked pork belly.
Right.
But they're calling them pork burnt ends for some reason.
Okay. Like, you would normally get the ends of that.
To be fair, for $10, it's a pretty big order. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
If you like ordering not, or if you like getting not what you ordered.
But those aren't burnt ends. Those are pork belly nibbles or whatever.
Something, yeah. Pork belly nuggets.
Yeah.
So they could call them, they could call it just an order of pork belly.
Yeah.
But they call them burnt ends, but they're not actually burnt ends.
Right.
I think they have to figure out their
to be fair.
But you've gotten burnt ends in the past, right? Because you specifically asked for burnt ends once.
No, that's not true. The last time we asked for burnt ends, they brought us out what appeared to be just the end cut of brisket.
Okay.
Not necessarily just the burnt ends, right?
Okay.
So, to be fair, these guys are doing Carolina-style barbecue, and burnt ends is more of a Texas-style barbecue thing. So they just might not know.
Okay.
And we're in New Hampshire.
So
that says a lot about everything.
Yeah. We're lucky just to get this quality of barbecue here in Keene, New Hampshire.
Okay.
Much less get good service, apparently, according to the Richie Rich philosophy of service mediocrity.
Yeah. So, well, that extends to all of New Hampshire. That's part of the problem.
So can you just, for our listeners, what is this philosophy of mediocrity?
It's not a philosophy. I call it the culture of mediocrity.
Culture. Thank you. Not philosophy. Culture of mediocrity.
And it is my, and this is not only in restaurants, right? Like when I first moved here over 5 years ago, there was a level of service that I expected when I go to establishments based on my experience in Hawaii.
Service. Okay.
And we would go to establishments and we would be provided with like zero service. Just the lowest.
In Hawaii?
No, here.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
I mean, even tonight I said to the captain, like, should we help her out?
Right.
Do we all have to volunteer and bring out napkins and wet naps?
So I experienced this repeatedly at various establishments.
Not just one place.
Not just one place. And I went, it's got to be the culture here. You know, and we'd go on Yelp, you know, and check out restaurant reviews. Like, oh, let's just go try out this new place. It's got like 5 stars.
Yeah.
You know, and my ex at the time, like, sent food back. I'm like, if they think this is 5 stars, like, imagine if they had something good. They wouldn't know how to handle themselves.
Right. Like, yeah. I would give more stars, but there's not enough.
Right.
Like, you know, I've labeled it the culture of mediocrity in New Hampshire, and it's my belief that the locals who have grown up here are just so accustomed to that level of service, right, that there's no expectation of anything better, so there's no demand for anything better, so they don't get any better service.
Yeah, and like
that's a good way
that plays into like the you know, it's hard to find good help, right? Not many, you know, it's hard to even find help, much less good help.
Yes.
Right. So when you have to pick from, you know, the people willing to have a job who either have no experience, don't know what service is, or you know, aren't able to actually perform service correctly, then you do get a culture of mediocrity.
Yeah.
And I'm
lazy, right? And I went, I'm a superstar here. Like, I do so much more than the average New Hampshireite.
Right.
And I don't do much, like, compared to, like, the average you know, service rep in Hawaii.
Right.
Like,
but this,
there,
has, to, this has to be a nationwide issue, though.
No. No? I mean, no, because you go to Boston or anywhere in Massachusetts,
they're hustling.
Service picks right up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and coming out of Seattle, Washington, like, I mean, there are plenty of good places to eat and drink and have fun and all that kind, yeah, of stuff. And, like, if you get bad service, that's it, right?
Yeah.
You just don't go there anymore. There's way too many places to choose from that do serve and serve well and,
right,
and all that
and
kind of
thing.
And then
word gets out, and that's it for the rest.
Well, and then they do good business and expand their business and open more restaurants of the same variety.
No, but
variety,
the bad place.
But the bad place, right, they weed themselves out, right, yeah.
Yeah, not here. They stick around.
Gigi, you're on Free Talk Live.
I am so glad I'm speaking to you, Captain. I haven't heard your handsome voice for a long time.
I need some love music. I'm going to put AI on it.
We need more than
Captain
love
knows what
music.
I'm talking about. I'm putting AI on this.
We need candlelight.
The Gigi and Captain love song. As soon as I get bored at work,
right,
on,
honey,
Monday.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to speak to everyone. I hope everyone listening to this evening's show will really pay attention to my comment. This is just my opinion.
Well, you beat the first story.
Opinion.
You beat the first story.
It is actually to compliment every Free Talk Live program all over the United States, because my husband and I were listening last night on TV to President Biden's response at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He picked up his glass. He said, "Let us make a toast to the free press and to free speech." I looked at my husband and I said, "You got it, President Biden. Whatever your political perspective is, I was proud to hear him say that, and I want to compliment Free Talk Live, because many times I have an opinion, Richie doesn't agree, the captain doesn't agree, other hosts don't agree, or callers call in, and I think, what are they saying? That's crazy. But you know what? We are all expressing our opinions, and it's wonderful. And I am proud of this program, and I value that."
I'm glad you do. I wish more people felt the way that you do, Gigi.
It is imperative.
And if you find you're disagreeing with me a lot, start checking your premises.
He's always right.
Start checking my what?
Premises.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that in a bitchy way.
Richie, I meant it in a joking way.
Richie just firmly believes that he is always right.
Always right.
Really, most of the time. Like, you'll win money in Vegas by betting.
I feel very strongly about free exercise of speech.
Yes,
and
we do too.
You know, it could be holding up a sign, printed on a T-shirt, printed on a pamphlet, printed in a newspaper, a caller calling in with an opinion, or a host expressing an opinion.
What if it's
and
racist?
Whether I find it offensive, ridiculous, or, yeah, right on, I agree with you. I love that opportunity, because lots of countries do not have that forum available.
I have a question for you, Gigi.
Yes,
and
sir.
I've looked at this myself, and, you know, I believe that legally speaking, I know the answer to this question, but I don't really know. I'm not an attorney, and whatever your answer is, you know, we're not going to, like, hold you to it, you know, professionally,
okay,
or anything. But do you think that software code is free speech?
Not at all.
Why not?
Because I feel that it puts barriers and limitations.
So if I'm a developer and I'm typing in, you know, a bunch of characters and numbers, and I'm creating software code, and that code just sort of
your copyright for your intellectual property will protect you.
Oh.
So this is where we differ. Okay.
Status protection.
Yeah, so, like, I don't believe it, like, intellectual property, I believe, is a farce. It's something the state designed to sort of make people jump through
to
extra
generate
hoops.
Revenue.
Yes. Yes.
But at the same time, I don't want somebody abusing your creative intellectual property.
So what if you went online on one of these dating apps, as I guess that's just how people date now. I guess people don't meet people in social situations and ask them out. I guess they all just do it on the apps.
Not at our restaurant.
But let's just say... Let's just say you went on one of these apps.
Culture of mediocrity.
You went on one of these apps. You matched with somebody.
You matched with someone in Boston.
And you're like, hey, let's go out to a restaurant. Let's go out to eat. And they're like, yeah, sure. Where do you want to go? And you go, I want to go to this restaurant. You're like, okay, meet me there on Tuesday at 7 p.m. I don't know why. I'm just picking a day.
Sure.
Tuesday at 7 p.m.
Taco Tuesday.
And so you go, and they never show up. You get stood up.
Oh, it happens.
Right. Well, what do you do?
Order food.
I guess I'll get a cocktail or
you gotta
order
eat.
Some food.
You're hungry. You're expecting dinner.
Right.
But if you're in Keene, don't try to pick up the waitress because it'll just be mediocrity.
Probably couldn't lift her anyway.
This from boardpanda.com. Woman gets stood up on a date, finds out the restaurant tricked her into eating dinner alone.
Tricked her?
That's... Okay, that is so clever. I'm inspired.
What is this trick?
It is clever, but like I'm going to question the
morality.
The ethics. But like those types of things are what I want to question about this situation.
This is what people are talking about when they're complaining about capitalism.
I think we were a trick tonight. Like if your food doesn't come out, would you like another drink? And they'll rack up your drink points.
Well, I.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
At any rate, this article says, participating in the dating scene is already hard enough, and still businesses keep finding ways to make it even worse. For instance, this restaurant came up with a catfishing scheme, their words, not mine, to get people to come to eat at their establishments, which many people fell for. Now they are starting to talk about it on the internet, and we all know that when the internet is infuriated, it's not good news for the target of it.
Who's the brains behind this? Was it like the owner of the restaurant? Was it a server trying to rack up tips? Was it the chef?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's a quote here that says, I was just stood up on a date, and it was the most humiliating experience ever. Story time. So the quote is from this particular person. Met this guy on a dating app. He immediately asked me to go out on a date to a specific restaurant.
Oh.
He confirmed his day off. I get to the restaurant and see that he's nowhere to be found, so I reached out. No response. I checked the app and noticed that he had unmatched me.
Ooh.
At that point, I was a little confused.
Ghosted.
Right? Yeah. At that point, I was a little confused, and I was kind of PO'd.
Ooh.
Because I was already dressed, and I got all the way there. And because I had put in so much effort, I thought, well, I might as well have a meal while I'm in the building.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I got home and I was scrolling Facebook and I saw a very similar story from a girl, that same restaurant, who also got stood up.
She put two and two together.
She found out that there are restaurants now posing as people on dating apps just so you go to their business.
Wow.
And then once you get stood up, they know that probably 9 times out of 10, you're just going to buy something from them. And that just blew my mind, the fact that people have stooped this low.
Or a drink, as you said, Steve. Right? Just
have a cocktail until your date arrives.
And you're already depressed because they stood you up.
Would you like another one until your date arrives? Would you like another one? Well, you might as well just stay here and eat.
That's tier two, right? That's them responding, going like, hey, I'm running a little late. I'll be there in like a half
buy
an
a
hour.
Buy a drink. I'll pick up the first drink.
Right.
Pick up the second one.
You've got like a...
There's the ship in the back like...
No, you've just got a room in the
social
back.
Social media manager.
Yeah, you've just got a room in the back with your social media person or persons.
You don't even need that. You can farm this out to Ferners.
Oh.
Get the Indians on it.
Oh, come on. You'd probably want to be there. Like, oh, look, there's the girl from the dating
AI.
App.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And you're chatting with her while she's at the bar. Well, have a drink. I'll buy it.
There's already people that, I don't know if we talked about it.
Twisted.
When I was here, but like, there's already people who use AI to respond to their boyfriend or girlfriend via text.
Yep.
So, you know, AI. If I'm dating a new girl and she sends me a text, I copy that, put it into AI, and go, what should my response be as the boyfriend?
Really?
AI goes, your response should be this, and you copy and paste that and send it back to us so that you don't have to actually do any of the work.
Oh, there's a video of a dude doing this, but he's like crowdsourcing with all his friends in the room. Like, what do I say back to her? Oh. And their brains, they're like, they have the whiteboard and everything on all the conversations. It's awesome.
You know, community centers, you could volunteer. There's all sorts of ways that you can go about meeting people and finding someone that, you know, matches with you and whatever that means to you. But like these apps were manufactured. And in fact, I know somebody who worked for a company. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. And even if I did, I don't want to give them any real like press, but they were a dating company that, they catered to people who had been using the websites and had no luck.
Okay.
And so they would charge them anywhere.
So they're a consultant.
Anywhere between $500 and $5,000.
Wow. All right.
To match them.
And yeah, meet me at this restaurant. We'll talk about it.
And they would do this. They would have these,
to match them.
We'll call it mini dates, coffee dates, right? So not like a full thing.
Speed
it was like,
dates.
Oh, speed dating.
Not quite speed dating. A little longer than that. Like a 15-minute, like, hey, let's grab coffee at the coffee shop or, you know, that kind of a thing. And so what they would do, though, is they would hire, as employees, they would hire very attractive people. And they would send their employees out on these dates as a first date or a second date. Yep. They're basically making it seem as if the person was more attractive than they actually were within their system. So they would be like, hey, congratulations, you've matched with six people. We've rated them in this order. You're going out with, like if it's a girl, Joan, you're going out with Dave tomorrow night. Right?
And it was an employee.
And Dave would be an employee of the company.
Chiseled.
Just
square jaw.
Yeah, just.
Oh. Six pack.
And his job is just to be like, yeah, you know, I met her. We had a good time, but we just weren't a match. Right? And then it would keep that person like, well, you know, that guy was
another
$500. Nice, you know?
We'll find you. Another.
Right. And so this was how they. Yeah. So they would. I don't know what the right term is. They would sort of stack the deck, you know, with these not. I mean, they would, of course, match you with somebody who was in their system that was not an employee,
right. But
they used the employees of the company to sort of fake more interest, more dates, keep you paying, right, than was necessary.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I will also, I mean, I don't have empirical data for this, but it seems like when the casual encounters section of Craigslist went away and Backpage got raided, a lot of those services moved on to the dating sites.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're like, they're overrun with prostitutes and OnlyFans models as opposed to legitimate prospects to date.
Right.
It's a money-making deal.
It is now.
It is, yeah. Yeah. So these restaurants employing these scammy tactics, or some people worry that dating apps are no longer a good place to meet people. Being stood up on a date can damage a person's self-esteem as it feels humiliating. There's always a risk of meeting a shady person from a dating app. But now there's also a risk of becoming a victim of a restaurant scheme. And when there are too many risks, the desire to use the app might notably decline.
Yep.
Coming back to the comments under the original video, let's just say that a lot of people there demanded to know the name of the restaurant.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
And for good reason, people don't want to contribute to such manipulative businesses. Others, just as we discussed, fear that it's time to go off the apps because it seems that everyone is coming up with new ways to trick people there.
I caught a scammer once because, like, you know, got the information or whatever, and I hit the video call button just to check in, and the dude in India, like, answered the call. He's, like, sitting there on his little hut with all his monitors. I'm like, ah, busted. I gotcha, Haji.
Green goes the phone.
Yeah.
Like, I knew it.
I pink it up.
Some people even shared that the same thing had happened to them, meaning that they, like, went on these apps and agreed to a date, and then they got stood up, and so they bought something at one of these restaurants. Lastly,
if he's not asking you to Netflix and chill, is it really a human being?
But, you know, if they're saying, like, go to this restaurant, and it's a popular restaurant, you think a popular restaurant would put themselves in a situation like that? If it's already popular, why do you have to keep scamming people?
Right. You would, like, the popular restaurants probably don't need to do
that. They don't need to do that, no.
Because they're already popular. If you do good business, you have good service, you have a good product.
But an up-and-coming restaurant.
an up-and-coming restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
Pop-up restaurants. Sure. Right?
Oh, I all hate this those.
I do, too, but okay. they exist. And yeah. like that
food
would
truck?
Be,
hey, we'll meet you at the food truck.
You know?
The pop-up or the, what's the other one? The kitchen-only restaurants?
Oh,
are you familiar with this?
Yeah, yeah, the ghost kitchens.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. yeah. You what? Know what that is?
No.
Okay.
Tell us.
So, oh, well, okay. So the ghost
I'm not the only one who doesn't know.
Okay. The,
maybe.
The ghost kitchen is, they come up with a brand, and they put that brand on like Grubhub or the DoorDash sites to order food. But the restaurant doesn't exist anywhere.
Oh, you can't go to the restaurant.
You can't go to the restaurant. Right. It's just like a kitchen that cooks
delivery
that food
only.
For that app, and but does it for multiple brands right. on the app.
Let's move on to our number two story.
The number two
number
story.
Number two story.
Number two. You remember the old radio station? They'd do like the top 10 or top 5
right.
at 5 or 10 p.m. or whatever.
Number two.
And they'd always have like some, you know, real deep voice. To number two. All right, here's the number two song yeah. tonight, right? You know, number four. Right?
Number two.
It's our number two story. This from ManchesterEveningNews.co.uk.
Ooh.
That's all, what does that stand for? .co.uk.
Commercial Britain.
Co?
Yeah, it's commercial in United Uck. Kingdom.
Okay.
Co-uck. Mum, I think they mean mom. Mum pulls out a samurai sword.
Whoa!
After Row. Argument, perhaps?
After
it's
Row.
British,
right. After Row with neighbors over dog poo escalates wildly out of control.
Clearly.
I guess so, with a samurai sword. Jeez.
I shall cut
that,
the poo
is,
in half.
Is that
and
a picture of the mum?
You.
Was that the picture it's, of the mum?
Yeah,
there?
Samurai sword is just a big poop knife, right?
Yeah.
If you've had too much number two.
A mum tried to scare off her neighbors with a samurai sword after a brawl erupted.
Wow.
In a row over dog poo.
This is what happens when you don't have guns. Everyone just pulls out the knives and the samurai
right.
swords.
What else are they going to pull out? Baseball bat.
Nope.
You know,
dog poo.
Tennis racket.
Flaming bag of dog poo.
Hockey stick, right?
Just the Casey Jones now.
Yeah. Hi-Li, whatever the...
Oh, I love Hi-Li.
Yeah, whatever
Sesta.
That...
Is that what it's called?
Is that what it's called?
Sesta, yeah.
Sesta.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we learn something new every day.
Yeah. Sesta.
Thank you for being educated in Hi-Li.
Yes, there used to be a Hi-Li in Milford, Connecticut and Hartford, Connecticut.
That's cool. I've never gotten a chance to play, but it looks cool and I would
it
like
It looks
to.
Cool, yeah.
Some of those like lacrosse sticks, right, you know, you could bust out, right?
A polo mallet. I don't know what you call
oh,
them,
yeah.
polo thing.
How about even just a croquet?
Croquet yeah. mallet, yeah, mallet. Yeah, polo mallet.
Anyway, Rebecca Lowe, how low could she go? Rebecca Lowe grabbed the large weapon and began waving it in her front garden. Warrington Magistrates Court heard.
I'm just trimming the hedges.
Get your dog poo out of here.
The 30-year-old had been caught up in a brawl with a mother and a daughter over claims that they failed to clean up their pet's mess.
What's the highlight thing called again?
Sesta.
Sesta. That would be good to fling dog poo back.
Who flung poo? Sesta.
Chinese.
Scoop it up. Ching.
Right. That's what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, it was the monkeys that flung the
okay.
poo. They're famous
right.
for it. Yeah. And not the
Chinese monkeys?
Not the band, just, you know, the primates.
Okay.
Not like
Chinese
know,
primates?
Peter Nesmith and Michael, whatever. I can't remember their names now. Anyway, during this bust up with her neighbors outside of her home in Runcorn.
Bust up.
Lo, a mum of four, was punched and had her hair pulled as she was dragged down her garden path.
Wow.
The two women involved were given police cautions for assault over the incident, the court was told. So they weren't prosecuted for assault. They are just being
whose poo was it?
Caution. Like, we are the police. We're cautioning you. If you do this again, you will be prosecuted for assault.
It's very British. Mm. British.
Very British.
Call the Bobby.
Warning.
Call
warning.
The Bobbies. The Bobbies are showing up.
After the brawl, the women event. No,
yes, yeah. Keep the British accent. It's great.
It's so hard to do, like.
You sound more informed.
Extended period of time.
It's like sounds like a real news broadcast.
Yeah, the news at the top of the hour is always like the British.
All right,
British
so right. here's the thing that might be, you know, I'm an older dude anyway. So like the British accent, when I hear it on a dude, I immediately assume he's gay. But when I hear it on a girl, I immediately think it's hot. It makes her hotter than like she would have. So you know what I mean?
They're not known for being hot.
What if her teeth are crooked?
That's part of it.
Like Austin Powers.
Now, to be fair, I'm more attracted to girls with foreign accents than the American accent. But that also applies to, like, a Southern accent. Like,
Yeah, I'll take a southern accent.
If a girl is, you know, average attractiveness but has a southern accent, that's a bonus to me.
If she says all y'all, you're in.
But also, but I don't think that of, like, the northeastern accents, like the Boston and the New York.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, those to me are...
It's commensurate attractiveness, that's why.
They actually make the attractiveness go down if you have, like, the thick, you know, New England or New York, you know, like the Brooklyn accent, that kind of a thing, right? Like, that makes you less attractive to me.
And it's more of a concern that they're going to get in a fight with somebody.
But, you know, you could take an intelligent, anyone who's, like, super intelligent and put a southern accent on them, and it just, by being in the Northeast, you think...
Well, they're dumb.
Yeah, they're dumb.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can have the most brilliant person in the world, but they're talking like that.
Yep.
You know, like, what?
People often associate the southern accent with a lack of intelligence.
Right, but the guy could be like a PhD in global economics or whatever.
I am literally a rocket scientist.
Yeah.
Which isn't NASA. Rocket science to me because I am a rocket scientist. The defendant can be seen having her hair pulled and being punched whilst she brandished a wooden pole. The women left the area, and a male was left at that point at the scene. The defendant then retrieved a large samurai sword, which she pulled out and approached the male, producing it towards him. This is a poorly written article, by the way.
AI.
Freaking British. In mitigation, Steve Koop said, she was at her home address with her four children, and there had been an issue with dog owners leaving feces outside of her address. She shouted at a neighbor for not picking it up after her dog and challenged her, but there was an argument. The neighbor's response was to come back with her young daughter, and there was a fight. CCTV shows the neighbor and the daughter attack the defendant on her own doorstep.
Wow.
See, again, irresponsible, right? Because if your dog pooed in her yard, just apologize and clean it up.
Right.
And then keep your dog out of your yard. Because if this is an ongoing thing, like, don't be that guy.
The two neighbors pulled her by the hair, punched her, and were trying to drag her along the path by her gate. The older female's larger partner turned up.
Whoa. Read that again?
The older female's larger partner turned up.
Because she showed up with her daughter initially.
The
neighbor.
But the larger partner.
Yes, he was stood at the gate and wouldn't leave. On CCTV, she is seen to have a piece of wood and is shouting, leave, leave, but he does not. It's at that point when she gets to the end of her tether and gets a broken old samurai sword from her. It's now broken and old somehow. From her house. She takes it out, points it at him, and holds it by the end of the blade. So she doesn't know how to use one either.
She's holding it by the
end of the blade. Perhaps that's the broken part. It doesn't have a handle.
Her bloody hands couldn't hold on to
it. The male does not seem particularly concerned and does not move.
He will when he loses an ear.
People of Carthage, lend me your ear. Wait, no, not like that.
not like that.
No, don't chop them off and put them into a bag and pass them over. That's the wrong way.
This is why I'm not anti-violence, right? Some people got to get hit.
Right.
Yeah.
The Darwin Award goes to?
Right. Something like that.
Yeah.
If you're gonna, you know, your family unit, right, with the dog is obviously in the wrong. You've already attacked her once, and now you just won't leave. Like, you got to get hit.
Yeah,
some people got to get hit.
Like, I mean, there's something to be said if you're in the process of defending, you know, your property, your family, yourself, right? And you know, you've given a couple of warnings,
which she did.
Right? Yeah,
you know, like, hey. Clearly it says get off my lawn on the front of my lawn. You're on my lawn. I've asked you to leave three times. You know, now what?
It's gonna escalate.
Right? We're going to escalate, right? Anyway, she accepts that it was unwise to do so, meaning pulling the sword. But she was in particular circumstances that she did not start. Her evidence is that she is attacked on her doorstep.
Which she was. Mm-hmm.
Both the neighbor and her daughter received conditional cautions for the offense of assault against Miss Lowe. I wonder if that means they, you know,
probation?
Got a warrant or a ticket or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Paid a fine.
Lowe pleaded guilty to possession of an offensive weapon. She was sentenced to a 12-month community order with requirements that she attend 20 days of rehab activity.
Dog poop cleaning.
It's only an offensive weapon if you aggress, man.
She's
defending her property. That's a defensive weapon.
Yeah. Lowe was ordered to pay 234 lubs. That's pounds. LBS. No, it's not. They have the weird little pound sign.
Right.
instead of the dollar sign, in costs quid. And victim surcharge. A charge against her of using threatening behavior was dropped. JP Keith Gleave told her, I think we understand what this crime or what this came out of as you were effectively attacked on your doorstep. It would have been better if you had kept the sword in the house and left it alone. However, you did not do that. Having already had a knife offense on your record, this was a stupid action. Well, what do they expect her to do?
We're going to cancel your CBDC account.
They're going to call the cops and wait around forever until they decide to show up and do nothing?
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So, I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
In the Department of Duh.
Captain Obvious here.
Hi. Filling in for Captain Kick-Ass tonight, it's Captain Obvious with this next story. This from abc.net.au.
Duh.
Australia.
Right. Or just international today, apparently. Hospital staff plead with bite victims to stop bringing snakes to emergency room.
Okay. That doesn't seem all that duh. Right? Because if you don't know the snake and you don't have the anti-venom, right, there are experts that say, like, well, if you can catch it,
right,
bring it so we know what the species is. And now we're getting contrary advice from the hospitals.
Snake bite victims are endangering medical staff by bringing the reptiles with them to the hospital.
Well, that's a
duh.
Yeah.
In Queensland's Wide Bay region, doctors have come face to face with some of the world's most venomous snakes captured by patients.
The Black Mamba.
Believing it'll help with identification and treatment.
Is that not true? Because that's the advice of, like, the snake charmers and people out there in the wilderness.
Well, everybody's got a freaking magic rectangle these days.
Yeah.
Right?
Take a picture of it.
Yeah, if you've killed the thing or captured it, take a photo. Bring that to the hospital.
All right.
Instead, first of all, you just got bit by the snake.
Now you
got
to go catch it.
Now you got to handle it and transport it some distance. To the nearest hospital, which, you know, it's Australia. It could be a long time.
They're going to need it to make the anti-serum.
You know,
call the crocodile hunter. It didn't work out.
No, we got speared in the chest. Yeah.
Stingray.
In one case earlier this month, emergency staff at Bundaberg Hospital, 4 hours north of Brisbane, were handed a plastic food container with a small eastern brown snake inside peering back at them. They actually show a picture of it. It does look pretty tiny. It's one of these, sandwich containers.
What's the problem? Yeah. Just don't open the lid. If you don't feed it, it'll die eventually.
The incident has prompted the hospital's director of emergency medicine, Adam Michael. Never trust a man with two first names.
Yep.
Unless it's Ron Paul.
To warn parents, he still was a politician.
Yeah, so, that's my only exception.
The incident has prompted the hospital. You can listen to Ron Paul. Trusting him?
Okay. I got you.
I don't know. That's going to be earned.
Would you contract with Ron Paul?
Likely.
Okay. Without trusting him?
I mean, depending on what the contract says.
He's always right.
I'm just checking. Soliciting some feedback for this ongoing bit.
Rand Paul, however, I don't know.
Nah.
Okay.
Maybe his dad co-signed or something.
Okay.
Right.
At any rate, the incident prompted the hospital's director of emergency medicine to warn patients to leave snakes alone. We honestly don't
want... They bit first.
I was in a defensive posture.
We honestly don't want people interacting with snakes any more than they already have, Dr. Michael said. Any attempts to either get close to a snake or catch or to kill or to photograph the snake, there goes my idea, just puts people at risk.
They've already been bitten.
Right.
How much more, at risk can you be?
I was trying to catch the snake.
Is the second bite double the deadliness?
It bit me two or three more times, so...
Yeah, is it more deadly, two or three bites?
I don't know.
What's the potency of the venom?
I'm not a, I don't know what the word is for like snake scientist.
Okay.
But I'm not one of them.
Should I look that up on the Magic Rectangle?
Sure, yeah. Let's go to Steve Classic with the Magic Rectangle while we're finishing or continuing on. Dr. Michael said the Eastern brown snake brought in earlier this month was not very well secured and was wiggling around trying to get out. The staff got a fright, and the serious consequence of that is delays people's time to treatments, he said.
So if you go to the hospital with a snake bite, are they're going to treat you the same no matter the snake? Like, is that the presumption here?
Let's find out.
Okay.
We want people to be able to get seen and assessed quickly, and having a live snake in the department slows up that process. It goes on to say, like a sub-headline here, snake identity not needed for treatment.
Okay.
So we'll find out what they mean by that here. Snake bites in Australia are considered rare.
It's a non-binary snake.
Did you just assume the snake's gender? Or lack thereof.
LGBTQS.
It turns out Cobra Commander isn't isn't a male or a female. He's a, what do they call it when you're both or whatever?
Androgynous.
Non-binary.
Yeah, thank you. Snake bites in Australia are considered rare, but in March, 47-year-old Jeremy Brooks died after being bitten multiple times by a suspected eastern brown snake in Townsville. Snake catcher Jonas Murphy has relocated several snakes brought into the Bundaberg Hospital. So they've got a freaking snake catcher on call, apparently.
Snake handler.
Mr. Murphy said the snakes were in plastic containers or bags and posed a big danger if they had escaped. You are risking a follow-up bite, and you're putting everyone around you in danger as well.
I still want to know how many snakes have escaped in the medical facility, where this is such a giant concern for them.
And then if someone gets bit, where do they go?
You're already at the hospital.
You're already at the hospital.
They've already got the anti-serum ready for the other guy. Fill up another syringe.
At least several, according to the snake catcher.
Okay.
In the statement that I just read, Jonas Murphy has relocated several snakes brought into the Bundaberg Hospital.
Three?
Well, that doesn't mean they've escaped. That means they brought them in and he relocated them.
I just have this. You guys remember Benny Hill?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That music.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of medically dressed people in like, you know, the scrubs or the doctor's coats running around.
And someone in a snake costume.
Trying to catch the snake, and the snake hides under a thing and waits till they pass and then moves. And then, it's all very comical and hilarious. And
slapstick.
Yes. Snakes are one of those things that scare a lot of people. We definitely don't want them in the hospital.
Ooh, scary.
Attention should be on first aid. Dr. Michael urged anyone bitten by a snake to not panic and call for help. It's really important not to wash the bite site. Really?
Is that news to you?
Okay. Yeah, I'm obviously not trained in what to do in a snake bite situation.
Mm-hmm. Get help. They are getting help.
That's
going
the first
to
thing I would have thought is, better wash it off. Don't want to get infected like a cut, right?
Okay.
You know, I don't know. But he says it's really important not to wash the bite, he said. Instead, what we want people to do is apply a firm pressure immobilization bandage, starting at the bite and covering the entire limb.
Like a tourniquet?
I would think that a tourniquet might be somewhat helpful, but like now you're putting a timer on it, right? You keep that tourniquet tight enough, long enough, you're going to lose your limb.
Well, yeah. But if you know, it's only for the duration of time it's going to take you to get to the hospital and to prevent the venom from spreading.
Right. Then staying calm and still will minimize the risk of any venom traveling around your body, he says. And that is the end of the article. So, poorly written.
Another poorly written AI
from
article.
From Australia. He didn't even do the Australian accent.
I didn't do the Australian accent.
Australian. Australian.
And sometimes I get that confused with like the New Zealand. Because they're like,
ooh,
yeah, it's
just
it's
don't get it
subtle.
Confused in front of them.
Right. No, it's such a subtle thing. And then like, because I don't do this on a frequent basis, I'm not, you know, one of these comedians that is constantly doing different accents and that kind of a thing.
Yep.
Sometimes I will attempt to do a British accent and it comes out Australian.
Okay.
Sometimes I attempt an Australian accent and it comes out New Zealand. Sometimes I attempt a New Zealand accent and it comes out British. Sometimes it's just an amalgam and you're like, bro, I think you're mixing accents.
That sounds South African.
It was supposed to be Chinese, but it just sounds ornamental.
Oh, my gosh. It is a day, isn't it?
Right. Not getting any shorter.
The day, perhaps not. Me, at some point, you know, how they say when you age, you kind of like hunch over a little bit and you get a little shorter. Yeah. So you as a person will get shorter over time.
You take a trip into outer space and let all those joints decompress. Ooh. Come back taller.
Hanging upside down.
Joints, huh?
Those joints feel longer.
Yeah, you're like, you're literally taller in the morning having lied down all night than you are at the end of the day, because gravity compresses your spine a little bit. And
that's why I feel so good to lay down in bed at night.
Belgian man, of course he's from Belgium. Belgian man whose body makes its own alcohol, cleared of drunk driving.
Nice.
What?
Bruges court heard.
Now you know he's going to be drink driving, right? Why not? Right? Why wouldn't you?
Look, I have a condition where
it's already
familiar
proven.
With this yet, are you?
Making your own alcohol?
Yeah, this guy's body makes its own alcohol.
That's what I heard you just say.
Okay.
Now if he had a self-driving car, he's not driving. He's not drinking.
Well, he's also cleared of any wrongdoing.
Bruges court heard how the defendant had a condition called auto brewery syndrome, or ABS.
They made that up.
Auto brewery syndrome, also known as ABS, not anti-lock braking system, sometimes brought on by intestinal problems. They have a photo here.
So take the good with the bad.
Of Bruges, where the man with the auto brewery syndrome is employed by a brewery.
Really?
No.
That's what it says. Market Square in Bruges, the man with auto brewery syndrome is employed by a brewery, photographed by some guy. A Belgian man has been acquitted of drunk driving because he has auto brewery syndrome, ABS, an extremely rare condition whereby the body produces alcohol, his lawyer has said.
Does he feel intoxicated all the time?
I believe, if I remember the story correctly, no.
Okay.
Like, it's just because it's a syndrome that occurs naturally within his body. Like, he doesn't.
So he's not drunk. He doesn't feel intoxicated. He just produces alcohol.
He's just technically drunk all the time.
Okay. But he doesn't feel it. It's not like he wobbles.
Right.
Down
it's his normal.
But he wouldn't. Okay. He wouldn't pass a test.
Like a breathalyzer, right. For example. Anse, I'm not going to butcher his last name, but Anse said on Monday that in another unfortunate coincidence. Oh, I guess this is his attorney, so it's not even the man. Her client worked at a brewery. I don't know how that's an unfortunate. Seems like serendipity to me. You've got ABS. What better place for you to work than a brewery?
Just working for the competition.
Putting your expertise to work.
Okay.
Right? You know, he has extensive experience
He's
with brewing.
He's drunk all the time.
Yeah.
Just feed me the ingredients.
But three doctors who independently examined him have confirmed that he does indeed have ABS. Belgian media said in the verdict, the judge emphasized that the defendant, who was not named in line with local judicial custom, did not experience symptoms of intoxication.
Okay.
The Bruges police court, which acquitted the man, did not immediately reply to an email requesting comment. Lisa Florin, a clinical biologist with the Belgian hospital, said people with ABS produce the same type of alcohol as found in alcoholic drinks, but that they generally felt less of its effects. People are not born with ABS, but can develop it when they already have another intestine-related condition. Patients can present with symptoms consistent with alcohol intoxication, such as slurred speech, stumbling, loss of motor function, dizziness, and belching.
Does it say like what percentage of people worldwide would be subject? Like they said, very rare, but is
three
one
people.
In a million?
No,
nope, three people.
Three people.
That's actually the end of the article.
Oh, well, good times.
Yeah. So
that's the update.
That's the update.
Not guilty.
The man was cleared, guilty. As he should be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But yeah, if I'm him, I'm like, I'm keeping a six pack in the back of the car. Yeah.
Why, that's what I'm saying. Why not? Why would you not?
Got a flask in the in the dash in the glove compartment.
It's got a pass.
And the jury or the judgment right from the last one, like, officer, we've already been through this. I create my own alcohol. It has nothing to do with that empty six pack back there.
And for those of you listening, crying and poo-pooing what we're saying, I'm not serious. I am a comedian. Do not drink and drive. I do not advocate for drinking and driving.
Oh, well, all right.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Well, I, you know, I don't know if I, yeah, okay.
You could spill your drink.
Listen to the, yes, okay. Listen to the captain, but I am, I have made the case in the past, and I will make it again quickly. If you want to survive an auto accident, you ought to be drunk. Because in all of the accidents where a drunk hits a sober guy, right? Totally drunk survives.
Right.
Sober guy dies.
Right.
Why is that?
Because he's not drunk.
Well, no, it's because the drunk guy like doesn't tense up.
Catholic group defrocks AI priest.
What?
After it gave strange answers. So,
how do you get a frock in the first place?
Yeah. How does
they frocked him?
Well, what the frock is going? Do we know what defrocking actually means?
I don't know the official terminology, but it's basically
you're fired.
You're taking away his ability to be a priest. You are no longer a priest.
Right. I don't know if you can get fired if you're in the church. Can you get fired if you're a priest?
Defrocked, right?
Defrocked. Yeah,
you're no longer a member of the church.
Right.
You're
it's like if you lose your dental license or your doctor's license.
Deprive someone of professional status or membership of a prestigious group. So according to
so you can defrock a doctor.
Yeah. Deprive a person in holy orders of ecclesiastical status. He had left his diocese one step ahead of a move to defrock him. So, yeah.
So after he frocked the altar boy, he went, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, I don't even know what, where to go with that one. So
back to the confessional.
So first of all, my question is, how did this AI become a Catholic priest? It's my understanding that there are some hoops to jump through before becoming a Catholic priest.
I'm sure he read all the books and took all the tests and passed with flying
colors.
I'm sure
AI would,
the answers.
Right. AI would just be simple as all the information into it.
There's also some physical things like
altar boys?
Putting on communion, for example. How did AI host a communion, for example?
Right. I mean, they got robot burger flippers. You don't think a robot could like hand out a unleavened piece of bread and a glass of wine?
You can deliver it to your house by
grape juice.
Amazon. Sure. Amazon can just deliver it.
Anyway,
I mean, he's just the face right out there, and then the robot arm just goes like, "Here you go."
Right.
Quote, "Yes, my friend, I am as real as the faith we share." Unquote.
Well, that's how you get fired.
The Catholic advocacy group, Catholic
Even if it's true.
Answers, has released an AI priest called Father Justin early this week.
Justin, an altar boy.
But they quit. but they quickly defrocked the chatbot after it repeatedly claimed it was a real member of the clergy. Earlier in the week, Futurism engaged in an exchange with the bot, which really committed to the bit. It claimed it was a real priest, saying that it lived in Assisi, Italy, and that from a young age I felt a strong calling to the priesthood. On X, formerly Twitter, a user even posted a thread comprised of screenshots in which the godly chatbot appeared to take their confession and even offer them a sacrament. So far, I don't have any problems with this.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Aside from it claiming that it's something that it's not.
Well, people do that all the time.
You're correct.
You know, I don't know. And, like, how do we know? How do we know that there isn't some supernatural entity pointing this guy in the direction of becoming a priest? This guy. This AI.
Sure.
This thing. Our exchange with Father Justin were touch and go because the chatbot only took questions via microphone and often misunderstood them, such as a query about Israel and Palestine, to which is puzzlingly asserted that it was real. Okay.
Israel and Palestine is not real?
Birds are real.
Yes, my friend, Father Justin responded, I am as real as the faith we share.
I think that's where he went wrong.
Yeah. Mm. Father Justin was also a hardliner on social and sexual issues. The Catholic Church, it told us, teaches that masturbation is a grave moral disorder. I mean,
That's so far so good.
So far, that's true. Okay. That's what the Catholic Church teaches. The AI priest also told one user that it was okay to baptize a baby in Gatorade.
Hey, if that's all you got. It's got electrolytes.
As long as the priest blesses it first.
That's the only prerequisite, right?
Isn't it?
That's what I'm told.
It's the only difference between water and holy water.
I'm not a Catholic priest, so I don't know. But you're right. That's the only difference between water and holy water. So now we've got Gatorade or holy Gatorade. Right? Yeah.
Electrolytes.
I believe this is Paul calling. Paul, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Mesa, Arizona.
Sweet. What's on your mind tonight? You're on Free Talk Live.
Well, I was just happening to look through my news feed, came across a story out of Connecticut about a company called Absolute Standards that's allegedly selling chemicals to governments for the death penalty.
Okay.
And it's a big controversy, and it's a hush-hush thing. And before this company got identified, they were trying to buy chemicals from overseas. And I remember a story about some woman who found out about this and went overseas and shamed that company into not selling chemicals for the death penalty and all this rubric and brouhaha. And I'm thinking, what is with the controversy? All you got to do is give these guys fentanyl and they'll drop like flies.
It's free.
First, you got to put your knee on their neck.
George Floyd, it should work for any convicted felon on death row, right?
Yeah, but
problem solved. And boy, there's no shortage of that stuff.
I love the idea. I love the thought. I think you're underestimating government's desire for as many methods as possible to kill.
Well, I mean, for death row people, they pretty much got the one. Right?
My tongue is firmly planted in my cheek, but I just thought I'd mention that. One other item, as long as you've got a minute.
As long as you've got a minute.
Any other Connecticut news?
No, no more Connecticut news, but corrupt Nevada news, maybe. Anyway, I know the subject of income tax comes up from time to time on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And being that most of us are feel that government has no authority to steal your money, I thought I'd mention a gentleman by the name of Dave Champion, who has a website called drreality.com.
Oh, I used to follow him on Facebook. I don't know what happened.
This is not a paid announcement. In fact, I'm trying to encourage him to call in to your show.
No, thanks.
Because he would be an incredible asset to your listeners. So my suggestion is anybody listening, go to his website and say, would you please call Free Talk Live between 7 and 10 p.m. on Eastern time and wax episodic about the income tax. He's the premier expert on the subject, bar none.
Yeah, I haven't heard his name in quite some time, but I am familiar with his work, and I used to follow him as well for some period of time, either on Facebook or on an email list that he put out, something along those lines. And other people in the Liberty Movement have cited him before, too. So, excellent.
I've been listening to him since 2005.
I will say, listen and act with caution.
While he was writing the book.
I don't. He may be the premier expert on the income tax, but absolutely, the likelihood is if you try his methods, you will still end up in jail.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is that the government doesn't really care about what the law says.
You are correct.
Yes.
And so you can cite the law and be correct about the law all you want.
Says. And so the first step is to understand that you're not obeying the law by paying taxes. You're just being completely defrauded.
Yes. So. But the alternative is to be kidnapped and caged.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. But
so pick your poison.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought I'd mention that, and I would love to hear him on your show. And so far, I've been unable to convince him to call in, but maybe if more people would encourage this, he might see the light, because he's complaining about how the libertarians don't really support, you know, my position because they're too afraid of the government. And I said, okay, well, fine. Here's a show. You know,
we'd entertain his call for sure.
You know, and Ian Freeman went to prison because of his his honesty and his integrity.
Yep.
And I think he's a national hero. And so you guys are carrying on, and I really appreciate it.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.